You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Rugby Union World Cup. Expert opinion, live in-play betting calls and weekly podcasts exclusive to William Hill.
And welcome along to the William Hill Rugby Union podcast. You join us ahead of the Rugby Union World Cup 2015, of course, from England. Looking forward to this year's edition of the tournament. It all kicks off, of course, on Friday evening from Twickenham as England host Fiji. We'll be looking forward to that game and all the other host nations games, as well as a look at the outright betting for the tournament and for the pool betting. So plenty to get your betting teeth stuck into. Sam Norris here with you for this first podcast of the tournament. I'm delighted to say joining me on the line is former England prop Jeff Probyn. How are you, Jeff?
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, yourself?
I'm looking forward to what's going to be an exciting few weeks ahead of us. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a set for a fantastic few weeks of rugby hosted in our own backyard, of course. You getting down to any of the games, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm very lucky. Obviously, having played for England, you don't get a right to buy a ticket when you play for England. But I was on the committee for a while, and the 57 old farts always get the chance to get tickets.
All right, fair play then. It's not what you know, is it? So you know
exactly. It's a good old-fashioned question and answer. You know, it works well. I've got tickets for all the England games at Twickenham, so it's going to be for me. It's going to be an exciting time.
Oh, brilliant. Good stuff. We'll start the podcast then in a very English way with the chances of England, I suppose. We'll get into the outright betting for the tournament a little bit later on. But just as a start, Jeff, how far do you think we can go in the competition this year?
I think, you know, the big thing for us is to win our pool. And that's going to be difficult enough with both Wales and Australia in there. So from that point of view, if we can win our pool, we get an easy route through to the final. Basically, we'll be facing teams that we know. We're liable to face either Scotland or Samoa, and then probably Ireland or France. So, from our point of view, if we can win our pool, that's the route we'd like to play. If we don't win our pool, we face South Africa and New Zealand in the quarters and the semis. So, you know, for us, you have to beat every team if you go into a World Cup. You have to be capable of beating every team, but you'd rather face New Zealand in the final than as a semi-finalist.
Yeah, that's right. It's a tough pool, isn't it, that England have been assigned to? Probably the toughest of the four, would you say?
I would say it is, yeah, certainly. And, you know, that'll reflect certainly in the betting on other things like leading try scorer and point scorers. It's, you know, when you look at it's the pools you're playing against and the teams in those pools that will make the difference about the points that are scored. And you know, players that you would think wouldn't be leading point scorers can be because of the standard of opposition. Unfortunately, in the World Cup, there are two levels of team. There are the professional teams that play up here in the Northern Hemisphere and Australia, New Zealand and South Africa, down in the Southern Hemisphere with Argentina. But then you've got the likes of Japan, Namibia, Uruguay, who are amateur sides, and they will struggle and they will probably leak points. And the major teams that are in those pools with those groups will get lots of points, and you have to look at the point scorers as potential from there.
Let's get stuck in then to the betting surrounding England's opening fixture. Of course, this is the tournament curtain raiser, what this being the host nation. They take on Fiji in the first game of the tournament, Friday night at 8 o'clock from Twickenham. It's 1-33 on the outrights for England, 33-1 the draw. Fiji are priced at 16-1. The handicap here is set at 25. It's minus 25 for England, 10-11, plus those 25 for Fiji at 10-11. And 16-1, the handicap tie. This is, of all the home nations opening games, this is surely the toughest assignment against the flamboyant Fijians.
Yes, it is. And also, this is the Fijian side that's won the Pacific Cup recently. They've gone out there and they've put their game together. One of the aspects about Fiji, for the first time ever going into a World Cup, they've actually got a side that have trained and been together in a training camp for a number of weeks. The Fijians themselves reckon this is their best prepared side ever going into a World Cup. So from that point of view, it's a very hard task for the English side. Yes, we will win, but I don't think it will be the cricket score. I think 20 points would be a good margin for England against what is a very, very strong Fijian side.
Yeah, it's a, as you say there, it's a decent Fijian side. They're probably the pick of the Pacific Island nations, really. And that's plus 25 points. It looks a pretty hefty handicap. Would you have to come down on the side of the Fijians there, getting those?
I would. I would actually think that, you know, as I say, I think that if England can win this by 20 points, that will be a good margin for England. So I expect it to be between 10 and 15 points as a points difference. The first game in a tournament is always an edgy game. It's always going to be difficult for, particularly for England as the home nation. I did play in one back in 1991 where we played against New Zealand, who were at the time the world champions. And you know, back in the days of the early World Cups, you played the winners of the previous World Cup in your first game. So for us, it was an edgy game. It was a 12-6 result. Both sides played what would be classed as a nervous game. I think that will be the same for England and Fiji. I think Fiji will go at this game nothing to lose, and they've got a couple of very good, strong players. So, you know, for our point of view, if we can get 20 points, we would do well.
Yeah, OK, just a couple of the markets Jeff touched on there. Then England, the winning margin, 11-15 is 8-1. 21-25 is 11-2, if you fancy they'll do it that way. Are you envisaging a high-scoring game, or do you think it'll be kept quite tight? Because this is quite a young, inexperienced England side.
It is, but I think it will be, let's say, not a high-scoring. I think it'll be medium rate. I expect it will be something like say, 32-33 to England and 15-2 to Fiji. I expect Fiji to score a couple of tries. Their goal-kicking will be good. Their tackling will be aggressive. It will be something new for a lot of the England players who won't have faced the physicality of an Ireland side like Fiji and also the way they play. It's one of the reasons that England have chosen the lineup that they played last week against Ireland, which was probably their strongest lineup. Sam Burgess is obviously a very big talking point. His physicality may come in handy at the end of the game, but you certainly wouldn't want to start him against the Fijians because he would never have played against a team like them.
Yeah, that's fair enough. In terms of try scorers then, Jeff, who do you think is likely to get the damage done?
Well, I think that Johnny May obviously is got to be up there with Andre Watson Watson because they've been playing very good rugby. Also, England have moved the ball well with the centre combination of Barrett and Joseph. They've worked well. They've got the ball to their wingers. And, you know, in the last couple of games, in the warm-up games, we did see wingers scoring tries. So I expect England to still play that style. But sneaky bets, I think Ben Morgan. You can just see that when you play against Fiji, you have to play a slightly tighter game. It has to be something that's going on in the forwards. So Ben Morgan and Tom Woods could easily come into the reckoning. Ben Youngs as number nine, scrum half, round the back of the mauls is there as a possibility. So, you know, it's from an England point of view, they're the sort of guys I'd look at. Most of the Fijian names I can't pronounce, which is always a problem. But, you know, they've got a very big winger. I'm trying to remember his name now. And their scrum half are there for their scoring opportunities because they've got great skills and the ability to produce a very good attacking game.
Yeah, there'll certainly be no mugs. So I'll just run you through some of the prices then for some of the names that Jeff's touched on there. Ben Morgan's 2-1 anytime, 14-1 first or last. Ben Young's 15-8 anytime, 14-1 first or last. And Tom Wood is a 9-2 chance anytime, and a 25-1 first or last try scorer. Any other thoughts on this game, Jeff, before we move on?
No, not really. I think it will be an exciting game. I mean, obviously with the as I say, the aspects of having. If you like having the opening ceremony and everything like that, the players are going to be standing around for a long time. That's why I think it's, you know, we won't see the best from England that we will see in this tournament. England will improve as the tournament goes on. I have no doubt about that. But they will need to hit the ground running because Pool A is such a difficult pool with both, as I say, Australia and Wales in there that it could come down to points difference. So England will be trying, but they mustn't try too hard. That game against France in the Six Nations where both sides scored tries like a tap, a running tap, defence wasn't part of the game. Very much against Fiji, defence has got to be a major part of the game. England have got to play a very tight game, very solid game to make sure that they don't concede too many points.
Yeah, it's fair enough. And on the spread then, you're taking Fiji with the 25.
No, I'd take Fiji with that. As I say, I think the score will be something like, the points difference will be something like 15 to 20 points rather than 25. I think 25 is just a little bit too many.
Okay, fair enough. Jeff's thoughts then on England's opening fixture against Fiji. We'll move on to Ireland now then. They're in action at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon at the Millennium Stadium. Their first match is against Canada in Pool D. And the handicap here is set at 39. Minus 39 for Ireland is 10 to 11. Plus 39 for Canada is 10 to 11. I suppose this is a good opportunity for Ireland to get a big score on the board, because Canada are one of those sides that you mentioned at the start of the podcast, Jeff. Perhaps not in the upper echelons of world rugby.
No. And from that point of view, you expect the Irish to really perform, particularly the way the Irish have been playing with Johnny Sexton. And you look at the game that they produced against England. They lost a couple of their warm-up games, which would have gone into John Smith's head, and he would have realised that he's got to look at that team and make them focus again. They played some good rugby during the Six Nations, and they played some good rugby in the summer, but they've fallen away a bit, and he needs to refocus that side. But this is a great opportunity for him against Canada. Canada will be physical, they'll be aggressive, they won't be technically good, and you know, I think the bookies have got it about right with the 30-odd points.
Yeah, okay. Do you fancy Ireland to cover that handicap, Mark?
I do. Yes, I think that I think they will. I think that Ensign playing in the centre for him is a good lump of a man. Their forward pack is quite good, and with the back row playing as well as they are, Jamie Heaslip and that, you can just see them just being a little bit too good for the Canadians.
Okay, we're not fully priced up on try scorers for this market just yet, but rest assured we will be closer to the time.
Tommy
Who should you be looking at?
Tommy Bow.
Tommy Bow.
You're always going to say Tommy Bow. I think Dave Kearney as well didn't show very well against England, but he's a very good young try scorer, so I think he's up there for a possible.
Okay, and then in terms of a winning margin for this, you fancy Ireland to cover the handicap. Just how much can they pour it on?
I think Ireland could probably win this game by about 40 points to about 10. So 35-point margin, I think is a good margin for the Irish.
Okay, 31 to 35 then is the winning margin in question. 6-1 the price for that. In terms of where they can go in the tournament, Jeff, are you expecting a big run from the Irish?
I think I am. I mean, you look at the pool that Ireland are playing in, and basically, you know, their main challengers are France, and so you know it's a side that they know. Obviously, playing in the Six Nations, they play each other regularly. France do well against them. Ireland do well against France and have done well in the past few games. They'll be confident that they can top their pool and go forward from there.
Okay, then that's Jeff's thoughts on Ireland's game against Canada in that one. We'll move on then to take a look at the Welsh now. They're in action, of course, against Uruguay. This game comes up on Sunday at the Millennium Stadium, 2:30 kickoff for this one. And this is one of the longest odds-on shots, if you like, of the of match day one. 1-500 for the Welsh, 66-1 the draw, 66-1 for Uruguay. The handicap here set at a whopping 67. It's 10-11 for Wales on the minus side, plus 67 for Uruguay, 10-11. These are one of the real minnows of the tournament, Jeff. And much has been made of the Welsh injuries going into this tournament, but this is an easier assignment to kick things off.
Oh, this is like, you know, Uruguay are very much an amateur side. They're not even the best side in South America. They've done well to get to this tournament. In a way, they've won their World Cup by being here. They're going to be the whipping boys of Pool A, and of course, Wales get the first chance. So Wales will dominate this game. Certainly, the Uruguayans won't have any answers to the likes of George North. You can expect a cricket score in this game.
Yeah. I think this will probably be one of the ones with the biggest winning margins. Just how big would you go on the Welsh side of things?
I actually do think the Wales could put 60 or 70 points on the Uruguayans. I'd be surprised if Uruguay get any tries. If they do, it would just raise the roof of the Millennium Stadium. If they closed it, it'd burst it open simply because the enthusiasm. As I say, the Uruguayans have won their World Cup by actually getting there. So for them, everything else is a bonus.
Yeah, fair enough. Quotes of 7-1 then for a winning margin of 61-65. Same price, about 71-75. I mean, it just shows the golfing class between these two sides, that 100-point winning margin is only priced at 20-1.
It is possible for Wales to actually do that and achieve that, because, to say, the Uruguayans won't have anything to answer the Welsh backs. Jamie Roberts, obviously, the physicality of Jamie Roberts. Liam Williams, who's come into the side for the injured... Liam Williams coming into the side for Halfpenny. Liam Williams is a more attacking player than Halfpenny, and actually will encourage Wales to score tries. So you just feel that Uruguay, as I say, are going to be on the end of a beating. It's great for the Welsh because it gets their World Cup off, and it's going to set a target for every other team in that group, with Australia and obviously England, in terms of point. Wales will be fully aware that this is the group that could come down to points difference, and they will be out there trying to score as many points as they possibly can to set a target for both Australia and England, who will play them later in the competition.
Yeah, great chance for the Welsh to hit the ground running then and really serve it up to Uruguay. Try scorers then for this one. You mentioned George North a little bit earlier on. Is he in the thinking?
I think he's almost guaranteed to be there. Jamie Roberts as well, the same. The physicality of those two guys. Warburton, I think, Warburton or Tuparik, if whichever way the Welsh decide to run this, I think you could see tries coming from almost anyone in a Welsh shirt. If I was betting on this, I'd be looking at the guy who's got the farthest outside odds and put money on him. Yeah, Jenkins, there you go. Geoffrey Jenkins, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, once we're priced up on try scores for this one, you'll have to go a long way down to find someone at an odds against price.
Simply because of the opposition. You can just see the Welsh, particularly playing in Millennium Stadium. It's one of the games that they do get to play at home. They'll be keen as mustard to show the Welsh fans that they're up for this, and that the injuries that they had hasn't really affected their chances. They're still going to be one of the sides going through.
Yeah, great chance for Wales then to kick things off in the right way in Pool A and possibly to cover that 67-point handicap. In terms of their tournament prospects, obviously all the talk pre-tournament has been about the injuries, Jeff.
Yeah, and in some ways that fools people. It makes you believe that Wales have got enormous problems. They haven't. The number of the injuries that they've had are players that really Wales were considering whether or not they should be picking those players to play. I mean, Mike Phillips coming back at number 9. Mike Phillips is no way a bad or over the hill scrum half. He's a very physical animal who produces games. I would say the only reason that he was out of the side or out of the squad was probably because he's a little bit too aggressive and gets in people's faces a bit too much. Gatland would have been worried about the potential for points that he would have given away in penalties. But as a player, he can win games, and I think that's going to be one of the vital things for the Welsh. You know, losing Webb is a blow, but getting Phillips in there certainly gives them a different sort of attack and a different sort of aggression that they wouldn't have had with Webb.
Yeah, OK then, that's the Welsh game done. We're not fully priced up on Scotland's opener against Japan, but we'll mention it briefly. This one kicks off on Wednesday at the Kingsholm Stadium. What sort of a handicap are you expecting them to give Scotland here?
I think that Scotland will be seen as winning this by between 15 and 20 points. I would say that Japan are hosting the next World Cup in 2019. They will want to have a good showing at this World Cup, but it's just a little bit too early for them in terms of team development and how they're going. Scotland have now got hit the ground running. They've got up there. You know, they've got a new coach. They've started producing the results. Scotland will always suffer. They only have 3,000 adult players, so they're one of the smallest pools of senior players. But they're good enough, and they'll be organised enough to take this Japan side and beat them by 15 to 20 points.
OK, fair enough. In terms of their tournament, probably expecting to get out of the pool behind South Africa. How far can they go past that?
Well, that's the big question. The big game for the Scots in their pool is Samoa. If they can beat Samoa, they've got a chance. But that's the game that Scotland will be targeting, certainly. They will see that as the game that they need to win. They will go out and give South Africa a go, obviously, but you expect that South Africa, with the power that they've got and the fact that they, you know, the strength of the South African game would just be a little bit too much for Scotland.
Okay, fair enough. That's Scotland's opener then against Japan coming up on Wednesday. We'll take a quick look now at some of the pool betting. We'll start with Pool A, of course, the most mouthwatering pool of the lot, this one. England are 10-11 favourites for this pool. It's 6-4 for the Australians, 9-2 Wales, 200-1 for any other team. Who do you think are the two to progress from this group?
Well, you know, my heart says it will be England and Wales in that order. But my head says that Australia are a team that you can't write off and who seem to be doing well. Checker, who's taken over as their coach, he's sorted out their front row. They've won the championship down in the Southern Hemisphere and beat New Zealand. You know, there are not many teams that can say they've done that in recent months. So you've got to look at Australia. They are the danger to both England and Wales in this pool. As I say, they're good enough to win. I think that England can beat them because they're playing them at Twickenham. I think Wales may struggle because they're playing them at Twickenham. As much as my heart says that it will be England and Wales that qualify, my head tells me it'll be England and Australia.
Play the straight forecast with us here at William Hill. England to win the group and Australia to come second is available at 13-8 in Pool A. That's Jeff's selection. We'll move on then to Pool B. South Africa 1-11 here to win the group. 8-1 for Scotland, 12-1 Samoa. Any other team, 250-1. I suppose, as you mentioned there, Jeff, the interesting battle in this group is the battle for second place. On the straight forecast, they've got South Africa to finish ahead of Scotland is 10-11 and South Africa to finish ahead of Samoa is 6-5. So it's finally poised in that battle for second.
Yeah, it is, certainly. And Samoa will be a real test for the Scotland side. When England played them in 2003 and when they won the World Cup and were struggling and actually put 16 players on the field and got fined £10,000 for doing so. And they eventually won the match and obviously we know they went through and won. But the game was finally poised. Samoa will see Scotland also as the game that they will target to try and win. I expect both Scotland and Samoa to rest players for this. Scotland do have the advantage of playing here back in Britain. So I think that I'm trying to see where that game is actually being played, the Scotland-Romania game, if I can find that on the sheet. That could be a major point in it. But you just think that Scotland will win that game and therefore become the team that qualifies second. But okay, it's going to be close. It's actually up in Newcastle, so
right,
they're pretty close to Scotland. They should have a major support there.
Yeah, it's a pretty plum draw for the Scottish, that. 10-11 then, South Africa to win the pool and Scotland to follow them home. Pool C then sees New Zealand as 100-1 on favourites to win the pool. Argentina 14, 66 is for Tonga, and any other team is 500-1. This one is the most foregone conclusion of the lot, if you like. Who's fancy to chase the New Zealand home?
Well, I think Argentina will qualify. I think the fact they're playing in the championship now has given the Argentinians a slight edge over Tonga. Tonga obviously would be the side that you would be looking at as the possible challengers to Argentina as runners-up in that group. But I think the reality is you've got to say that that Argentina, now they're playing first-class rugby on a regular basis, will have that little bit extra.
Yeah, just likely to be a little bit fitter now, aren't they? It's 1-8 New Zealand then to be followed home by Argentina. The final pool we'll come to then is Pool D. Ireland are your 7-4 on favourites here. 5-4 about France, 40s for Italy. Any other team are 500-1. Should be an interesting battle between the Irish and the French.
It should be an interesting battle between the Irish, French and Italians.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
True, yeah.
Let's be honest. The Italians have came out and they've played some good rugby. I mean, Sergio Parisi, that run against the Welsh, you know, they only just failed to win that game. You've got to say the Italians are there as a threat, and France and Ireland will both be aware of that. I'm not so sure that Ireland will win the group. I think that Ireland will go through, but I've got an idea that France may win it. I think the aspect that Philippe Saint-André, we know that the French have been in disarray over a number of years and their game style hasn't been good, but they have got themselves together. They've been together for a long time in terms of preparation for this World Cup. This World Cup is different to the previous ones. We've seen teams that have actually been together for close to 3 months in preparations for it. So I expect the French team to be a lot better than we've seen them playing before. The power of the French team as well, with Picamo at number 8, Balestrade in the centre. They've got skill with Fofana and Dullin, if he can get in above Spedding. So I've got a feeling, and particularly as the Ireland have seemed to have gone off the boil a bit, as I said, they've got to come back on the boil. I've got a feeling that France may actually top this group, and Ireland will come in as a second.
Okay, then France to win the group is 5-4. It's the same price, oddly enough, for them to be followed home by Ireland. So just play them as the group winner there at 5-4. Quickly, before we wrap up, then we'll take a look at the outright betting. New Zealand, of course, the holders of this tournament are 6-5 favourites. 9-2 about England, 13-2 South Africa, 7-1 Australia, 9-1 Ireland, and it's 14s bar those. Give us some good news, Jeff. Tell us England can win this.
Well, my head says no. Sadly. My heart says yes. I think the advantages of playing at Twickenham will give England the chance to get through this competition and go a long way. As I say, the important thing for England, they always say, everyone says, when you come to a World Cup, you have to be able to beat the best, and you have to beat the best all the way through. That's true, but sadly it's not always right. In 2003, for instance, England never faced New Zealand in the World Cup. They never played against New Zealand. That could be the reason we won it. So from that point of view, as I say, if we can win our group, we will get through to the final. If we come second in our group, facing South Africa and New Zealand on back-to-back weeks would be a very, very big ask. So from England, it's all about winning the group and getting out of the group as the first team. If they can do that, then they can go through to the final. Who they face in that final, that's going to be interesting. But if I'm honest, I actually think my outside bet for this World Cup is South Africa, partly because I think that South Africa are going to change very much the way they play their rugby after this World Cup. So for probably the next two or three World Cups, South Africa won't have a chance of winning one. This is their last chance of winning one in two or three generations. So I think they'll be pulling out stops.
OK, South Africa then, a 13-2 price for the World Cup. And we can get third of the odds place at 1-2. Of course, if they get to the final, you get paid out on your each way bet.
Leading try scorer, well, because of their group, you've got to look at the New Zealanders. You've got to look at Milner Scudder, who's a new boy in the squad. Survey, who's been there for a long while. Great players, those two, for the New Zealanders. They've got to be up there with leading try scorers. I think you've got to look at May for England, certainly. I think also George North, the advantages of Wales playing in that weak group against getting that first game up against Uruguay gives North a chance to be there amongst the leading try scorers. Brian Abana for South Africa and Creel, the utility back they've got playing. You've got Nani Williams for Samoa as a possibility. He's another guy who's physical and carries the ball well. So there's quite a few in terms of the betting, I should think, for the leading try scorers. I'm going to say that I think that because New Zealand have got what is a weaker group in terms of opposition, I'm going to go for Milner Scudder.
Milner Scudder then is 7-1 second favourite in that market. Some big prices available about some of the guys that Jeff mentioned there. 25-1, for example, George North. Brian Abana is 11-1. So plenty to get your teeth stuck into in terms of the top tournament try scorer. Any other thoughts pre-World Cup then, Jeff? Or is that about wrap it up?
I think it's going to be exciting. I think that, as I say, this is probably the World Cup where teams have prepared the best since the World Cup began in 1987. They've had longer together. We can expect to see some nervous games, some exciting games, some one-sided games. We can expect to see some of these junior teams. We can expect to see an upset. We can expect to see an upset. Hopefully not in our pool, in pool A. But, some of these minnows will surprise some of the big teams, partly because there'll be players being rested. And all in all, it's going to be an exciting few weeks that hopefully we'll see England getting through to the final. As I say, I don't think they'll be crowned champions, but getting through to the final, it will be a major step with this England team. They're still a young side. 2019 isn't that far away. And you never know, Sam Burgess may come through.
Looking forward to it very much then. Remember, you can hear all the in-play betting angles on William Hill's in-play radio throughout the course of the Rugby Union World Cup. And we'll be catching up with Jeff weekly. He'll be joining Michael Casey on the podcast. There'll be that pair next week. Thank you very much for joining me pre-tournament, Jeff. And best of luck to England. And I hope you enjoy all the matches.
I certainly will.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.